Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
By the way, folks, that voice you just heard, my daughter, Emma Soucy, graduated high school this week. Congrats, sweetheart. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoucy, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available as a podcast, obviously. It's also available on iTunes. And like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, they are available on Spotify. Well, we got through another week, folks. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying healthy. And congrats to anybody who graduated this weekend and the parents who stood behind them. I'm proud to be one of them as well. And we have some new movie news. And, of course, the drive-ins are open, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And, of course, we'll get to your list of films that you have watched over the weekend. But new on streaming. Okay, here is my D-bag pop culture idea for the week, or my own opinion for this week. And it sounds like a hot take or a hot stance on talk radio. That's okay. I have said before, and people lean on me a little bit about this. I have no problems with the Marvel films. They have all, for me, ranged from good to really good, and it's just as I've stated before, it felt like a chore because it's what, over 20 films in a span of about a decade. And I, especially the last half dozen, I would kind of sigh to myself before sitting down. I'm like, oh, God, another one of these. And then get swept right up into it and enjoy it. Not perfect films. I've talked about the multiple endings in Avengers Endgame, among others. But I don't hate them. I sound like Scorsese. But it's just not as grand, it's not as huge to me as it is for others. That being said, I wouldn't mind if there was a 20-part series of The Trip. This opening this week is The Trip from, it's the latest collaboration between Michael Winterbottom, as well as Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. This is the fourth one in 10 years. Four, not 20. But if they, every couple of years, go somewhere and do 16 more of these, I would be fine with that. And it's just, you know, two actors who are on a travelogue. This time around, they are going from Troy to Ithaca to follow the footsteps of the Odyssey. And you get, well, you get what you ask for with this. You get them at a table bantering, doing imitations. There's no Michael Caine this time around. There's a lot. There's dueling other impressions like Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier and Werner Herzog. You get food porn. You get great food while these guys are eating and drinking. And you get gorgeous scenery. You know, the first trip was, I believe, Northern England. Then it was Italy. Then Spain. Now Greece. And this one's, it's about an hour 40. And so it's not 3.5 hours long. Although I'm sure in the deleted scenes when this comes out on the video, there'll probably be an extra 20 to 30 minutes of cut stuff. But it's light and easy, and it's not as convoluted. I don't need, and I know since the pandemic, there have been a number of people that have watched the Marvel series in chronological order. Good for you. We have the time, might as well do it. So, but it's just, I'm not going to do that. But I wouldn't mind if Rob and Steve go to New England or Tokyo or Rio de Janeiro, if they can. That's the other thing. This is probably, obviously, we can't. Scandinavia. This is probably the last one of these for a while, but I still enjoy them. It's really easygoing stuff. And also the fact that in this one, we see the relationship where, Coogan's in a bloated version of himself and Bryden is a bloated version of himself. They make fun of each other's previous of the work they've done from the last trip film. In this case, there's a little bit of needling of Steve Coogan for Stan and Ollie. But there's also a through line between the Bryden character playing himself sort of and his family, as well as Coogan's life and his family. And it does take a little more of a somber turn this time around. There's also some dream sequences which had not appeared in previous films. So I enjoyed it. And if they made 16 more of these, I'd be good with that. So there you go. Anyway, it's out there. Look for The Trip to Greece. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week, there is a new version of Emma, which I'm hoping we will check out over this weekend. The Boy 2, if you need that. But I'm also, this was also a big deal for me this week, because this week was the first time I went into a video store since the pandemic. I don't know where you folks are as far as now that the restrictions have been opened up a little bit. I'm not quite ready to jump into the pool all the way. I have gone into a couple stores, not dining in at the time. I love the fact that the drive-ins are now open, so folks can have at least a movie experience in the drive-in, which everybody should have, especially the young people. And Emma has. And there's still a video store near where I live. There is a Family Video. There was one other person, and he left as I was entering, and I didn't dawdle, although I tend to see if there are any used Blu-rays that I would like to pick up. But I picked up The Way Back, and that's the other reason I picked this up, because it wasn't available on Redbox. The Way Back is the new film from Ben Affleck, and it's his another collaboration with Gavin O'Connor, who the two of them worked together on The Accountant. O'Connor had previously worked on films I adore, like Tumbleweeds, Miracle, and Warrior, among others. And truth be known, I was interested in this. Besides the fact that Affleck is now getting older and a little heavier and he's got to do some more non-action stuff, this time around, he plays a former basketball great who's working construction, separated from his wife, major alcoholic, and he gets a job coaching basketball back at his old high school. Over a decade ago, longer than that, actually, maybe more like two decades ago, I started doing a screenplay similar to this, only replaced basketball with high school track. That being said, I'm sure somebody else in the world has done a script like this with a baseball coach or a football coach or what have you. So there you go. That's showbiz, folks. So we get the stuff that you expect in the kind of sports comeback story, sort of, because it's not a very organized group, and Affleck whips them into shape, but not in a grandiose way. Nothing like Miracle, like the Gavin O'Connor's earlier work. This film reminds you that it is not a sports film. Sports is in it, but it's this guy struggling with his alcoholism. And it's done in an fairly understated way. It doesn't hit you over the head, doesn't get too preachy or melodramatic, does not become an infomercial for AA or any other recovery program. In fact, one of my favorite moments in the film is as the team is getting better and they win a game and then they win some more games and then they this is not really a spoiler alert. There's a rematch they have with a team that floors them earlier in the season and earlier in the film. And it does have the moment of the kids celebrating and the dramatic music playing. And you see Ben Affleck with a smile on his face walking off the court in slow motion as the music is playing. And then it fades out. And my brain, because there's a fade, went, wait a minute. And I paused it, which I try not to do at home, and there were still 30 minutes left in this film. So, yep, it's going to go down a path. Not everything has a squeaky, clean ending to it. And as the film continues on, we learn more about Affleck's past, part of his temperament, what has happened that got him here. And it's strong work from Ben Affleck. So The Way Back is on video. Go check that out. Okay, before I get you to grab a pencil, also a reminder, as I said, the drive-ins are open. And over at the Tibbs Theater, on screen one, you have The Invisible Man and The Hunt. On screen two, 1917 and The Hurt Locker. And then at 1:30 in the morning, they're showing Platoon. We're getting old titles mixed in with the new titles, and I like that. Screen three, we have Trolls World Tour and Sonic the Hedgehog. And then finally on screen four, you have Fantasy Island and Bloodshot over those at the Tibbs Drive-In. Now this weekend at the Skyline, they're showing Shrek, The Wizard of Oz, and First Blood. That's a solid one there. And then next weekend, they're showing Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So that's at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. And, of course, you have stuff that you can see online at IU Cinema. Go to cinema.indiana.edu/upcomingfilms, like The Return of Draw Egan, the New York International Children's Film Festival, Kid Flicks Programs 1 and 2. Among other things, that is happening over there. Okay, grab a pencil. Here we go. We start with my buddy Eric, who always emails me his. First time viewing the 1933 film version of The Silver Cord, based on a 1926 play. I actually saw a production of this when I was at college at the Ball State University about the mother of the household. Well, there's a reason why it's called The Silver Cord, if you can figure that out. Very domineering mother, pre-code drama, and Eric liked it. Also, from Italy in 1944, the excellent film The Children Are Watching Us. And then a good rating for the 1958 Sterling Hayden Western, Terror in a Texas Town. Eric, I need to revisit that one, so thanks for bringing that up. A rewatch, 1961's The Comancheros, which he deemed average. So thank you, Eric. All right. There's a few titles. All right, grab a pencil. Here we go, if you haven't already. Michelle writes, it wasn't a film per se, but I did watch two Jerry Seinfeld stand-up shows on Netflix, and he was so funny. Amber writes, Changeland. Judith writes, you're a music guy. Yes, apparently I am. Check out the Eddie set in Paris with the original jazz music with an amazing diverse cast. I have never seen anything like it. Love the family dynamics, but not pretty, but real. Okay. And by the way, I'll get to the rest of the stuff I watched a little later on after I read your picks. Marjorie writes, he knew he was right. The Way We Live Now, Good Will Hunting, The Hours, Old Man with a Gun, Cold Mountain, and The Vow. Thank you, Marjorie. Ray writes, as I write this, I'm watching No Maps on My Taps, a documentary on the history of tap dancing, focusing on the African-American pioneers of dance. Earlier this week, I watched The Vagabond Lover. Good God, the acting was awful, but it was 1929 and Rudy Valli was God, apparently, Ray. Bob writes The Way Back, as did I. JC writes Rise of Skywalker, but for television shows, I've been watching a lot of Travels by Narrowboat. Robin writes, binging again The Sopranos and Arrested Development. I bounce back and forth. We do that in our household, Robin, but currently it's BoJack Horseman, Schitt's Creek, and Mrs. America. Casey writes, Cool Runnings and Black Panther. Mike writes, The King and I. David writes, Saturday Night, The Original Blow Up, Harriet, Water for Elephants, Ford versus Ferrari, Learning to Drive in the Rain, and the best management training movie ever, Bridge on the River Kwai. Wow, David, that's a Saturday. Last Saturday. When the pandemic stuff hit the fan, we built a long list of past and present movies we wanted to see again and catch up on those we hadn't seen ever. That's what you're supposed to do, David, so good for you. Let's see. Moveen writes, Oliver Stone's The Putin Interviews. Thank you there. Okay. Back to over here. John writes, Marriage Story and Echo in the Canyon. I do enjoy both of those. And yes, more people need to see Echo in the Canyon. Maria writes, we watched Mission Impossible on the Sunday night movies. Neither one of us had seen it. And she means the first one. Ronald writes, The Apostle with Robert Duvall. That's also very, very good. I also get snarky people if I say, for instance, Ronald wrote The Apostle with Robert Duvall, and I didn't write in, you mean Robert Duvall was there? I know what he meant. Eric writes, rewatched Best in Show. And yes, we're going to end today's show with a little bit of audio from Fred Willard. And so I have not forgotten that. Eric said he deserved an Oscar for his performance in Best in Show. Benicio del Toro, want a word with you. Steven writes, again, we've been watching lots of streaming theater, but with films, we've been going long form. Finished Dr. Mabuse the Gambler and Bertolucci's 1900. That's a lot of De Niro and Depardieu in Bertolucci's 1900. Kelsey writes, we saw Quartet this weekend. Quite a lovely film based on the play. Beautiful performances. Michelle chimes in, I heart Quartet. And Kelsey, I have that on Blu-ray, and I need to get through that. I know, and that's directed by, the film is directed by Dustin Hoffman, and he does a commentary track. Speaking of Michelle, she writes, I watched Joe versus the Volcano for the first time. It was so dumb, but I refused to turn away. I mean, of course, there's some deep themes in it, but the execution and most of it and these islanders were so dumb. I love Tom Hanks enough just to laugh through it and stick around. Very good, Michelle. Evan writes, 36 Chamber of Shaolin and the Five Venoms, because Amazon Prime is filled with Shaw Brothers martial arts classics, apparently. Thanks for the tip there, Evan. Daniel writes, The Hustle, Lady in a Corner, Bye Bye Birdie. Or as we call it in our house, Bye Bye Bert He. Listen to the song again in the film. Bridesmaids, What's Up Doc, She Done Him Wrong, Bad Education, that's the HBO one with Hugh Jackman and Allison Janney. Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind, Victor Victoria, Cyrano, and My Love. Thank you, Daniel. Kim writes, Tremors, Murder on the Orient Express, both Finney and Branagh, Jewel Robbery, The Hidden, Black Narcissus, Flower Drum Song, The Searchers, plus a couple of UFC fights, a few episodes of the original Star Trek, and did some housework and napping to the original series Dark Shadows. It's been a good week. Glad to hear that, Kim. Gregory writes, Paths of Glory, great Kubrick film with Kirk Douglas. Paul writes, I watched Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, ooh, starring Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees in dialogue-less roles. I remembered it was kind of a big deal when I was a kid, and I'd gotten the soundtrack record from the library and liked a few of the Beatles covers. By the way, somewhere in the world, Aerosmith's version of Come Together is happening on the radio right now. That's probably the big burst, breakout song from that album. But the film is nearly unwatchable. That's putting it kindly, Paul. I kept feeling sorry for poor George Burns. The highlight was Steve Martin hamming it up for a rendition of Maxwell's Silver Hammer. It ended with a weird chorus of 100 people who weren't in the movie singing Sgt. Pepper's reprise, including Curtis Mayfield, Carol Channing, Johnny Winter, and other disparate notables of the 1970s. As an aside, I looked up the lead actress on IMDb, and her next listing after this film was several years later as a contestant on Star Search. All in all, time well spent. Man, Paul, the last time I watched that was in college, and there was a lot of liquid consumed and not enough. So better you than me, pal. That's harsh. John writes, and I talked with John a little bit on Facebook about this, and I get it. But he said, initially he wrote, there are very few new movies that pique my interest. And I tend to respond with, then keep looking. How about an old film that's new to you? And or apparently, as Lauren Bacall once said, it's not an old movie if you haven't seen it. And maybe you have a problem like John. He says, my biggest problem is I have so many streaming services, I can never make a decision. I spend half an hour searching when I've already got 100 films all on my watch list and queues. I should formulate a game plan because this happens every time I make popcorn and sit to enjoy a movie. I eat it all while I'm searching, then I lose interest. All right. And apparently I come up with the phrase browsing discipline, and it's something we all need to work on. I've done it as well. I have, of course, I'm Mr. Physical Copies. I still have a stack of Blu-rays and DVDs I need to get through. So that's kind of been my goal working on this. And I do the streaming stuff for the most part with my family. So, yeah, I get it, John. Just hang in there and keep at it. Okay, back to the list. Chris writes, Under the Skin. I loved it. I did, too. Roxana writes, I'm revisiting the National Parks PBS series by Ken Burns. Sadly, it's not on Passport. It's on Prime Video. So there's, take a note of that. Sarah writes, OMG, Into the Spider-Verse is amazing. Yes, it is. Moretta writes, Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary and Mascots. I need to see I've seen Mascots. I need to see Never Surrender. So very cool there. David writes, I enjoyed Logan Lucky, which I had never seen previously, and also a semi-worthless Vimeo documentary about the making of The Departed. This is David Lindquist of the Indianapolis Star. And he said, you see how boring, basically what he says, you see how boring it is to shoot movie scenes and how unglamorous the soundstage is, but at least you're watching Marty and Leo work. That is true. Nick Rogers writes, Blue City, The Mask of Zorro, Gretel and Hansel, The Keep, The Lovebirds, and The Art of Dying. And I thought, wow, Judd Nelson's Blue City? And his response was, regrettably, yes. At least to help me move toward a goal of watching 52 films directed by a woman this year, Judd Nelson has all the personality of a sentient thumb in that movie. Well, you should check out Fandango, which I watched last week. Missy writes, I listened to Ready Player One on Audible. The movie isn't nearly as good, but it's a fun little ride and super nostalgic for us old folks. You're not old, Missy. And yeah, it's the film is not perfect. At times it's like a almost like a trip through a Warner Brothers amusement park, but it was a decent throwback. Cassandra writes, we watched Moana on ABC last night. Okay. JJ writes, Groundhog Day, Bad Education, Sunchoke, and A Mighty Wind. Linda writes, The Goldfinch. Lisa writes, I've been revisiting The West Wing and rewatching Ozark from the beginning. I've also watched Harvey, which is what we did on Friday night, Lisa. Great minds think alike and watch alike. David writes, Brazil, because of Bob Hoskins' lookalike, service my air conditioner. Thomas writes, Once Were Warriors. Doug writes, All Through the Night from 1941 with Humphrey Bogart and up to season 3 of Ozark. Rachel writes, The Back to the Future trilogy, Lover Come Back, and Mission Impossible. The first three I had seen a while back, the last were new. Craig writes, Halfway through Made in Dagenham, starring Bob Hoskins by coincidence. Mike writes, I Am Legend. Nikki Staggs, who's been on this show, she... I have to tell the story, Nikki. Sorry. But she emailed me. She sent me a note a couple of days before I asked for your film titles on Thursdays on Facebook and Twitter. And Nikki wrote, I can't wait to tell you what I've watched. But she wouldn't tell me initially. She wanted to wait till Thursday like everybody else. And that's cool. Nikki said, I finally watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Loved it. All caps. Mad at myself for taking too long to see it. I get it, Nikki. We've all been there. Also watched Jumanji, Lord to the Jungle. Loved it, too. Jack Black was hysterical. We have the time, folks. So, yeah, if you want to watch the Marvel Universe in chronological order, we have the time for it. But, yeah, I remember when Hollywood came out and some folks were worried about the length. Well, you're not so worried about the length of a movie now, are you? In fact, revisit The Irishman while you're at it. Okay, back to the list. Abby says, not specifically a film, but binged the miniseries The Universe a couple days ago. It was fascinating. Stephanie writes, War Dogs, twice. You watch War Dogs twice? Okay. Brian writes, we revisited the 1999 film The Mummy with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. Stephen Sommers had one great movie in him, but he made it count. Perfect popcorn blockbuster. Thank you, Brian. Diana writes, unbelievable series, Velvet Buzzsaw, Love is Blind, The Endless, Dark Light, Remastered, Devil at the Crossroads, Zion, 1922, and The Haunting of Hill House. I have enjoyed the remastered documentary series as well. Cassie writes, two documentaries, A Secret Love and Rain Man Twins. Jesse writes, on a series kick this week, very odd for me, but loving it, The Americans, Mighty Boosh, and Hollywood. And we finished Hollywood, was it last week, I believe? I remember saying, Hollywood is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for theater kids. So enjoy that. Robert says, last night we watched Moonstruck. Nancy writes, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Scent of a Woman, Sea of Love. I think it was Pacino weekend on the premiums. Nothing wrong with that. Judy writes, Moneyball, I needed a baseball fix. Judy, I understand, and I'm a Tigers guy. Eric writes, my housemates and I finally watched Parasite. Very good. Tony writes, Joker was the film week's film was this week's film for us. Tough watch, but very interesting. Interesting perspective, and Phoenix was absolutely incredible. Yes, he was, despite my disdain for the film. Kim writes, we finally started watching No Passport Required with Marcus Samuelson through PBS Passport. Loved it. Only one more in season one. No movie watching, unfortunately. Cheers, and I trust you are grilling all Memorial Day weekend. We'll see, Kim. Mark writes, Matewan, which I just watched a couple weeks ago. Of course, I think there should be more Criterion treatments of John Sayles films. Well, let's see if that happens. Aaron writes, it's not a movie, but I just watched the original Incredible Hulk series. It's interesting to be reminded how older television was filmed. Yes. But also how comic properties were seen as not so long ago. You bet, Aaron. And if you decide to go back to some others from back in the 70s and 80s, good luck. Joe Shearer has his list. The Way Back, Scoob, M.O.M., Mothers of Monsters, Seaburg, Have a Good Trip, Adventures in Psychedelics, Maximum Conviction, Time Apart, Dr. Sleep, and Fantasy Island. Tony writes, Indiscreet and A Bucket of Blood, Love Stories. Well, if you love Dick Miller, you watch A Bucket of Blood, Tony, of course. Scott writes, we watched The Great Train Robbery last night. It was a bit silly, but enjoyable. Now, is that the silent version, or is this the one with Donald Sutherland, Sean Connery, and Leslie Ann Down? Brian writes, Molly's Game, The Lodge, and Jennifer's Body, A Revisit. David writes, finish the Infinity Saga. See, there you go. All right, I got to... This is a college classmate of mine. Jeff Parise says, The Love Witch. He's an actor, and he's in The Love Witch. So there you go. Thanks, Jeff. Grace writes, my housemates and I watched Parasite last night, finally. Yes, I had nightmares. Hang in there, Grace. Justin writes, Joker, Contagion, and Blow the Man Down. James writes, The Creeping Flesh, an early 70s horror film with Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, and A Bug's Life, both new to me. Good, James. John writes, The Earthling and The Jesus Rolls. Mary writes, Scooby-Doo and Kiss, Rock and Roll Mystery. Of course. Elaine writes, Legend with Tom Hardy starring as the Cray brothers. Not enough people have seen that, Elaine. I'm glad you got to jump on that one. She also writes, he's great in Venom, too. Britt writes, Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind, Crawl, Mortal Engines, The Shadow, Dora and the Lost City of Gold, It Chapter 2, Joker, Hustlers, Murder on the Orient Express, and Star Wars The Force Awakens. Sally writes, I loved it. We watched it a couple days ago, but she didn't say exactly what. Julia, yes, you'll try next week. It's fine. You're doing fine. It's I have a new client, me being Dr. Soce, film therapist, available for consultations. Laura writes, we go way back, and your sister's sister in honor of Lynn Shelton. Yeah, that was a bummer. Lynn Shelton, of course, the film director that passed away recently, known for those films as well as The Laggy and Hump Day, if I remember correctly. So I'm glad you got to do that. Susanna writes, Heartburn, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original, and The Great. Kathy writes, Lady in the Lake, loved it. Spencer writes, Contagion, Soderbergh is so insightful and concise. He also writes, great silly horror flick with Nicolas Cage doing his very best Nicolas Cage in Mom and Dad. It's on Shudder right now. Also, introduced my 11-year-old to The Terminator and T2 back-to-back. I am shocked at how well they hold up. Amanda writes, I watch Perks of Being a Wallflower with my 13-year-old daughter. We accept the love we think we deserve. Thank you, Amanda. I watched that last week. Mandolin writes, Anna. Channing writes, I'm a creature of habit, so let me just say Manos. The master would approve. Linda writes, Underwater. Allison writes, Jumanji, The Next Level. Mason writes, The Long Goodbye with Elliot Gould. Gary writes, Fight for Your Life. At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul. And Avengers, Endgame. Christian writes, Almost Famous. Kirk writes, The Big Short and A League of Their Own. James writes, The Wrong Missy and Scoob. Jamie writes, Car 3 with my boyos. And Eric writes, tried for the fifth time to rewatch Kentucky Fried Movie. Last saw it when it came out. Just, period, couldn't, period, do, period, it, period. Ah, Brian, how far did you get, man? I might have to call you on this one, personally call you, and learn a little more about that. All right, so that's what you watch. So thank you for your input here. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here at WFYI.org. Actually, I will go to Twitter for just a moment. I believe we have a couple here. Yes, let's see. Lou writes, of course, Lou Harry's been here, The Encounter and A Moon for the Misbegotten. Let's see. Sorry. Hot scrolling action here. Dan Epstein, who's been a guest on this show, finally watched Edgar G. Ulmer's Detour the other night for the first time. That was great. I'm glad, Dan. That's a really, really good crime noir. Chris writes, watched Rashomon this week, doing an online film club, and this was one assigned to me by my partner. I gave them Green Street Hooligans. He lives in Leeds and is a footballer, so felt it was appropriate. P.S. Rashomon was great. And Edward writes, this is at Edward Holleran, cool-ass concept. I'm assuming that's this, me reading off movie titles, and hopefully you get inspired. And my friend Taffeta thinks she's turning into Gloria Swanson. And as I told her, just don't shoot William Holden. But she already responded that that young, handsome-looking writers fear her already. Okay. That's just silly. All right. As mentioned earlier, this past Friday night, a week ago, Emma was working upstairs. She was trying to finish all of her assignments. So it was kind of Mrs. Sosi and I, Lynn and Matt evening downstairs, and just wanted to put something in. And we put in Harvey, which my wife directed a stage version of that many moons ago. And watching this in my notes, Jimmy Stewart makes it look effortless. Now, it also helps that he also did this play, did this show several times before doing the film. But a fun film. And I forgot that the woman who plays his sister won Best Supporting Actress and also did the play. So very comfortable stuff there. I want to thank Erica, my buddy Erica Barker, who's been a guest on the show. She led to my attention a 1979 TV movie called Murder by Natural Causes, a kind of a who'll do it. That stars, this is 1979, you have a professional and successful mentalist played by Hal Holbrook, who is married to Catherine Ross, swoons, but she's having an affair with really feathered hair Barry Bostwick. And if you don't have enough 1970s, Richard Anderson is in this as well. And it's sort of a murder mystery. The lovers are going to try to kill Holbrook's character, who has an artificial heart, a pacemaker, I should say. And I wondered why she was pointing this out to me. I mean, besides looking at Catherine Ross, nothing wrong with that. And I like Holbrook and Bostwick and Richard Anderson, but the film was written by Richard Levinson and William Link, who, besides giving us Dirty Harry, also were the creators of Columbo. And as I looked up, this film won an Emmy for Best Feature Writing. And it's a solid TV movie. This is not Lifetime, and you have legit actors in this. It just happens to be done on television. And apparently this was successful enough that it was made into a stage play and is still being done today. So thank you, Erica, for pointing that out to me. Thank you, Chief. As part of my Saturday night ritual, hopefully we watch something for the family on Friday night, and then Saturday night I will watch a midnight movie of some kind. And as I was coming into work last Saturday was when I heard about the death of Fred Willard, and I'll talk about Fred a little bit at the end of the show. But I watched Waiting for Guffman, and that was a fun revisit. I did listen to the commentary track for Mud, the film with Matthew McConaughey that has kind of a Tom and Huck feel of two young boys, one of which was the kid in Tree of Life, who helps out this drifter who's trying to get back the woman he loves, played by Reese Witherspoon. You also have Sam Shepard and Joe Don Baker coming off the bench. Still really, really good Southern kind of crime drama. Also revisited Silver Linings Playbook. Still holds up and has a fun look at Philadelphia Eagle fans. As I mentioned, I talked about the trip to Greece. And then my daughter and wife and I, we watched the live concert performance. Well, this was a performance that was done earlier this year. But a performance of the musical Bombshell. Songs from the musical Bombshell, that, of course, was in the series Smash, and this was a fundraiser for the Actors Fund. Really fun performances all around. And so the other one that I got to visit finally, thanks to the AV Club, apparently this was the weekend that the new Fast and Furious movie was supposed to open, and it didn't. So they were picking out movies from Monday through Friday that involved car chases. And there was some obvious stuff like Smokey and the Bandit. There was also We Own the Night, which was the crime thriller with Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Wahlberg. And I'd forgotten that it's James Gray who directed that and has a really cool chase scene, car chase in pouring rain. You have Jackie Chan's Police Story, which, of course, is on Criterion. The first two police stories, you should get that if you get a chance. And also, that made this article, but the 1975 Ozploitation film, The Man from Hong Kong. And I know about this film because of the really fun documentary, Not Quite Hollywood, which is about the Australian exploitation films of the 70s and early 80s, or Ozploitation, as they're kind of called. And there's a good chunk of the film devoted to this film. And it stars Jimmy Wang Wu, who is apparently the Chinese Dirty Harry, as a Hong Kong police officer who has to go to Australia to not only get information from it's supposed to be an extradition job, and he winds up, the Wu character winds up really getting involved with the Australian crime shenanigans of one George Lazenby. Yes, George Lazenby. This was one of the bigger profile films Lazenby did after he walked away from James Bond. And the reason why this film made the AV Club article is the really dangerous stunt work. There's a couple people that get, I mean, they're stuntmen, but the hits they take with a car, it looks a little harder than it really should be. Safety and insurance was different in Australia in the 1970s, and it's not quite Roar, but yeah. And I remember a shot in the documentary that they show of The Man from Hong Kong, and it's in the film, of course. But a car explodes and there's a flying piece of metal from the car that comes fairly close to hitting the camera. It looks great. It's terrifying. This is a film that Quentin Tarantino is hyped up as well. But you have the Wu character, the man from Hong Kong, coming to Australia, trying to cooperate with Australian police and internal affairs, and a little slight cinematic racism from people. George Lazenby gets to chew some scenery up. He also gets set on fire, which is also addressed in not quite Hollywood. There's no chemistry with his leading lady, an Australian reporter who bumps into the title character, and of course they wind up in the sack immediately. And apparently, according to the documentary, Woo did not think highly of white women, and he has two love scenes with two different ladies. His character is shot up and beat up, and he's taken into care in a country house, and there's a frolicking scene that makes Jim Brown look like a romantic. And I thought you were having a relationship with the Australian reporter, but it's okay because the farm girl dies and he goes back to the reporter with no hesitation whatsoever. There's a lot of violence, there's a lot of action, a lot of fight scenes, and a little bit of nudity, which is what you get from an Australian exploitation film. It's directed by Brian Trenchard Smith, who's done a lot of these films. If you look at his IMDb. And you kind of do that. I did that with Not Quite Hollywood. I was just jotting down titles. I'm like, I should look for that. So really cool action. This is a beer and a pizza movie and probably not for the family. But, yeah, I finally watched The Man from Hong Kong. So thank you to the AV Club for that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, friends, and for those of you who are not ladies or gentlemen, here are some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. I'm going to end this week's show with a little bit of audio featuring Fred Willard. The man had over 300 credits going all the way back to the mid-60s. One of the earliest things I remember him, he had a really funny physical bit in an episode of Get Smart. But films like Teenage Mother in 1967, Harrod's Summer in 1974, Jenny from 1970. I remember he had one scene as an interrogator in the Burt Reynolds film Hustle from 1975, directed by Robert Aldrich. Silver Streak, the original Fun with Dick and Jane, Cracking Up. Interestingly enough, a year after working on Fernwood Tonight, he was in a 1978 TV movie called Space Force. Huh. Americathon from 1979. That was when I was on cable a lot. How to Beat the High Cost of Living, First Family, also on TV a lot. Of course, there's the Colonel in This is Spinal Tap, and of course, his work with Christopher Guest in the Christopher Guest films, really huge. The Mayor in Roxanne, Portrait of a White Marriage, a slew of television. So just, and he was one of those, he was always good, even if the material wasn't. And I can't remember who wrote, I believe it was somebody on the AV Club that said, nobody did pompous cluelessness like Fred Willard. So, God, great loss. And strangely enough, his last credit, according to IMDb, the TV series Space Force. Anyway, I know the last few Christopher Guest films, he was especially blowhearted and sitting behind the desk. But I'm going to end for you with an audition he had with Catherine O'Hara, with doing, of course, a theatrical take on the Maria Muldaur classic. Here's a little bit from Waiting for Guffman. So go see a good movie. You deserve it. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, and we'll do this again next week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Ding dong.
Oh, I wonder who knows I'm vacationing here at the Oasis.
Am I late?
You!
Surprised?
How did you find me?
I have my ways.
Would you like to come in for coffee? You don't need to answer. There's no need to speak. I'll be your belly dancer, prancer.
And I will be your sheep. I don't need a harem, honey. When you're by my side, and you won't need a camel. No, no, when I take you for a ride.
We'll need some coffee to go with that ride, won't we?
Well, you're always full of surprises. But say, I wonder, do we have time for that coffee?
What time is it?
What time is it? Haven't you been paying attention? It's midnight at the Oasis.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
Parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!